Okay, good to go.
All right, we'll call the meeting to order, and first order of business is approval of the minutes from the February meeting.
Which, I apologize, you don't have in front of you. I'm going to have to send them out via email. Change in secretary got me a little bit goofed up, and we haven't got those minutes typed up yet. They're still audio. So what I'll do is I'll send them to you guys' email, and we can approve them that way, if that's okay with you.
Yep, that works.
Okay.
And then we'll just each
You're better off with a voice call for me.
Okay.
So I'll send them out an email. Okay. But I was wondering about just turning around with a, we can turn around and accept them subject to a reply back to Casey.
Sure.
Like unless we have if we were coming to the meeting or not.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Does that sound good?
Okay. Yeah. Sorry about that.
I move we approve the minutes subject to receiving them by email and a confirmation back to Casey.
Okay. We have a motion. I can second it. Motion and a second to adopt the minutes with email approval.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same. Introductions. Casey.
Yeah, so like we were talking about last year, we were trying to add a fourth field inspector, is Sia. She's a Northwest Staffing employee, 6-month employee. So Sia's right over here. I'll let her introduce herself a little bit, a little bit of background maybe.
Yeah, my name's Sia. I graduated in December with a general biology degree. Saw a posting for the job and applied, and luckily I got it. So I'm in charge of the North End, including Yakult and La Center.
Is that a full-time position?
It's a 6-month.
Six months. Yeah, through Northwest Staffing, which is the staffing agents we normally go through for temporary positions, yeah. So Randy, be careful. She's in your area, so she will send you a letter.
We turn the dog loose.
She cover my area then too, coming that far south down to Rockford.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. Correct. She might not be able to find your place up there. I'll have to give her directions.
It's a weed that one of the ladies identified last year that showed up same spot again this year.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
And I can't remember the name.
Oh, it looks a lot like wild cheerful.
That's what it was, the yeah. CH or CIR or however you
right.
Spell it.
Yeah. Wild cheerful, yeah.
And it's right on or my driveway road, about halfway up the hill on the right.
Yeah, that makes sense. We've been seeing quite a bit of it on the Kelly, Gabriel, some of those roads in that area.
Okay.
I did some herbicide trials on them last fall. They're in the carrot family, so your milestone type products don't really work on them. What they've found when they've done trials in the past is that it usually is a combination of glyphosate and imazapyr, which we don't really want to go imazapyr on the roadside. So I tried a number of different combinations just in different roadside areas that I could pull off. And so we'll find out more this spring as we do some more work on them. But yeah, it's a difficult one to control.
That's what I hear.
Back in Vermont and New Hampshire, where they have quite a bit of it in the pastures, which we don't have yet here, they're having a really hard time keeping it down. So
now what is it?
It's wild chervil. It's in the carrot family. It has some similarities to, say, poison hemlock or wild carrot, Queen Anne's lace, that sort of thing. Not toxic that we know of. So there's that. But
well, it looks like that.
It can get pretty aggressive.
Yeah, like I don't remember if the county came through and mowed or if the neighbor weeded it. I don't remember, but it shredded not too long after I brought the picture in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that, but then I see it. That looks same like spot on the neighbor's driveway right on the access road coming up the hill. And I'm going, boy.
Yeah, I saw some here
the
other day.
It looks like it's along the roadways, but yeah. I don't know if it's that or not.
Yeah.
But, yeah, now that you mention it, refresh my memory about it being aggressive and
you know,
on and on. And I'm going, great, another one I've got on the hill.
Yeah.
Because I think I've got everything else.
There it is.
No, I saw it.
I didn't know. Okay.
Anyway, sorry, I digressed there.
Okay.
No. Sia, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll probably see you in North County.
Thank you.
Not too much, I hope.
Depending on how it's here. But
now, who's in my area this year?
Kara.
Still Kara again.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we like to keep her in the middle of the county because that's where
and
all the action is.
And she usually goes back to repeat offenders.
Yeah, so be careful.
Yeah, that's what she said last year. And actually, I do have water hemlock coming.
Yeah.
I had a guy who was going to go spray it the other day, and it's all up about that high.
Just on Friday, I was down Port of Vancouver area making some contacts there, and there was poison hemlock that was already 7 feet high and flowering.
Okay,
now that's early compared to most people because it was full sun. But
this isn't really. Yeah, it's full sun too, but it was shorter. But I was just noticing every one of them I've seen so far, the bottom leaves are yellow.
Yeah,
the yellow, and then the red stalk up 6 inches or whatever that way, and then they're growing, but they hadn't got up to flowering. Or
anything that's good.
That way.
Yeah, this one's probably early.
So. And if she gets there with her binoculars, she'll be able to see it.
The one field that Gary, my brother, you've certified it weed free for years.
Uh-huh. Not this year, huh?
It is just terrible. There's no way in the world, you know. You won't even try.
Where'd it come from?
Just so much rain, you know?
Yeah. We've had several people call in already getting anxious about tansy ragwort. And we sent out a lot of introductory letters a couple of months ago, just letting people know who've had it in the past that it's probably going to be bad this year. And we were right, because the calls we've gotten so far are people saying that they have twice as much as they normally do. So don't be surprised if it's a bad tansy year this year.
That's going to be. I haven't got out to get any spraying. I got a little bit around the edges with the four-wheeler, but as far as getting in the field, I won't make it now because it's grass is way high. I already got big tracks out there from throwing some fertilizer. So anyway,
as we're in general of discussion, I'll get one more out of the way. And then, Les Greer, he said that he spent over $1,000 in spray material on 5 acres on shiny geranium.
Wow. Down by his place, or
Right at his house.
Okay.
Yeah, right behind his house.
Yeah. He owned up there on up past Mike Baker's house.
Oh, okay.
I was hoping it wasn't that.
Yeah, no, it's at his house, and he's been working on it, and he's still working at it to try and control it.
I believe it. Yeah, that was that forest understory that we saw the photos last time.
Yeah, forest understory. Yes.
Okay. Item 3: major events year to date. And it looks like Casey's going to update us.
Yeah, just a quick review. So, first week of March, Weed Coordinators Conference in Chelan. That was my first time going since it was my first full year as coordinator. A lot of good information. How different counties go about their violation letters, and you know their finding process, and you know, different things like that. Everything from hiring employees to concerns about some counties might have about insurance, or just different things like that. A lot of interesting topics that aren't typically at the applicator's license renewal type thing. So that was that. It's an annual thing there. They tried to get me to be the president of the association, and I declined. But it came back to bite me, because then our Cooperative Weed Management Association, that were part of us in the three counties around Portland, asked me to be the president, the chair of that group. And since I had already declined one, I said, I better do this one, and this one's gonna be more work. So I picked the wrong one. But so that's that. March 31st, we got the knotweed grant request for proposal in. That's the riparian knotweed project we do every year. The last 2 years, we were on the Washougal. Justin, who you guys met last time, did a really good job with that. This year, our proposal is to have the work take place on the East Fork. And the reason for that is we have a combined effort with Clark Public Utilities. They have a good-sized grant for everything from most of the headwaters area, or not headwaters, but the eastern portion of the East Fork within our county, down to about Heisen Bridge. And our proposal was from there down to the confluence, past the center. So we'll see how that goes. There's a pretty good chance we will definitely get some money, but maybe not all that I asked for. Every year we have, we usually have something. So, and then a little bit of an update on that, I guess it comes at the end. So never mind. So I'll skip that. April 4th, weed-free twine was delivered. So we have three pallets here of the three most common knot strengths. So that'll be helpful. Haven't heard a lot from Weed Free Forage. The Schallers did get a hold of me, so I did an initial just kind of check of their field, because they like to have it checked once kind of early. But hopefully most people are happier with that arrangement, that they can just pop by right here and not have to pay the shipping costs. So that did take place.
Stored here?
Yeah, so it'll be... Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's a little bit different here because it's all fenced off for security, or I don't know if it's security of property, maybe, reasons. But as you just drive up to the main gate, there's a call box, and if you just hit the button that says Vegetation Management, it rings to our secretary, and then they can just let the people in. So we'll just make sure that they know that as they come and where to swing through to pick it up. So just an extra step.
Do we need arrangements ahead of time, or just hit the call button?
Yeah, it would be call ahead of time, hey, I'm coming by tomorrow morning, kind of a thing. Yeah.
And then as far as... squaring up, is it a billable item, or do we have to bring cash?
It'll still be a payment to Washington State, to Olympia, same as before, except without the shipping costs. Yeah, okay. It'll still be to them.
Okay.
Then who keeps track of it? Is there going to be somebody there that'll disperse it out?
We do. Correct. Yeah, okay. We have it in a kind of a storage area that's fenced off, and we can dole it out. It's like I said, it's on pallets now.
The way I was sounding, it was kind of like help yourself. When
no,
you ring the
no.
Colgate. That, yeah. That's what I was.
I like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. I was just
yeah. Yeah, I like that better.
So next three or four items there are all education outreach, or they all were. So yep. Small Acreage Expo, Earth Day, and Home and Garden Idea Fair are three that we always do every year. Carrie did a really good job with that, and then. On Earth Day, she was at the Earth Day event at Salmon Creek, down there by the girls' softball fields that happens every year with CPU. Mm. And myself and Justin were on the Washougal River in a cooperative effort with City of Camas. And there was a young man from Hayes Freedom High School that used it as part of his senior project to help us out. So he recruited a bunch of volunteers. And so we did some hand-pulling of garlic mustard there. And then just the last one on there, if anybody wants to be, you know, in on a short little CVTV thing, if you're feeling like being famous, still recruiting, they're going to do a little five-minute blurb on what we do. So the reporter, cameraman person, Mr. Harris, keeps asking for more footage. So if anybody wants to show off their prowess, or their weed-free field, or, you know, anything like that, let me know.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You provide written scripts?
Yeah, yeah, I right. wish. I had, yeah. Yeah, had to
double prompters.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Okay. Item four, summary of all these handouts.
So, yeah, these are just different things that I wanted to have you guys look at, and some of them are more of just to keep you updated, and other ones are maybe if you guys can provide some feedback. So the first one there is just a rewrite of the county code, chapter 7, that we're suggesting. Kevin and I went through it, and the items in yellow are just the small changes. So what they are is, and these are, this took the old code, and then just the ones in yellow are the ones we're changing from that. So so basically what they are just updates. A couple of them are just to make sure that the weed board rotation every 4 years is set up correctly. There's another one that because Environmental Services Department no longer exists, we just changed the language from Environmental Services Department to county commissioners, you know, that sort of thing, or county counselors. So just a couple of really basic things that were just to make sure it's accurate. There's no actual changes that are policy or directional changes. It's just for accuracy. Yeah. So that's that one. If you have any suggestions, let us know. I think at this point, Kevin, it goes to kind of the county lawyers to make sure it's all legal, and then it moves on from there. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we'll have the attorneys review this, but then we're kind of waiting for the next round of biannual code amendments to come. So community development runs a process where they do code amendments all at the same time. We've tagged along with that in the past, and it's worked really well because they know all the procedures that you have to go through. So I think that's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Pretty quick.
It'll probably be pretty soon. Not sure exactly when, but it's on the list for them.
Because it goes through the planning commission, so it's got takes about 2 years.
And then the council, so in the meantime, we'll get all of these run by the attorneys and be in good shape.
And that's not what I printed off there. Is not the entire of Chapter 7, which is the county WECO. That's just the sections where we were making changes. If you wanted to look at the entire section, which is there's not really a lot there because most of it was removed because it was just duplication of the state weed law anyway. It's on the county website, or I could print off the larger copy if you guys would like. So the next item on here was just the finalization of the county weed list, which you guys adopted at the last meeting. So this here is the actual weeds where all the species are in the right places. The next page is the specifics. So for example, the Canada thistle and bull thistle with this specific direction that needed to be controlled around agricultural fields. And then the moving of the class C weeds that we are having regulated. So that's what the next page is. That will also be on the weed board website.
Are we just like the state weed?
Similar.
Have any more than us?
They do quite a few.
I thought so.
Yeah. Okay. What we did is we only are focusing on maybe about a quarter of their Class C weeds.
Oh, okay.
So they have a lot of things listed as Class C that maybe certain counties in the state would find beneficial, like Himalayan blackberry. Here, it's everywhere. Nothing we're going to do about it.
But when you enforce, you only have to enforce the county.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. And we do education on all of it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
The next page is the list of field mowing and field spraying contractors. The main reason I wanted to have this in here is it was shrunk down a little bit. A couple of fellows retired or moved. But I noticed just driving around in the last few weeks, there are quite a few, you know, just roadside signs, similar size as the political signs, they're just there, you know, Casey's mowing or whatever happens to be, that aren't on here. So if you guys, you know, with your contacts, know of anybody that wants to be on the list, we don't always send this out with the warning letters, but if people ask us for it, or if it's obviously something where they need to mow and they're, let's say they're opposed to herbicide or whatever the case might be, then we'll hand these out. So with a disclaimer at the top, of course, that we're not endorsing any of these people.
Where's that list at?
So it should be, I'm just kind of flipping through. So as you, one more to the right,
page.
I believe. Yeah, right there.
Oh, okay.
So just let me know, phone call, email, stop by if you have anybody that you know wants to be on it. The next one is every year in April, by the end of April, the state weed board wants our suggestions for either additions to the state weed list or tweaking of the current list in terms of moving plants up or down. So these are what we talked about at the last meeting in February. So you'll see the 2 points there. The first one are the ones that we asked to remove from a Class B designation. So essentially they would go from B designate to B, not requiring control. And then the second one that says add to Class B designation, none of these are actually new. They're ones when I was looking through the state website, they were listed incorrectly, probably because of a former error, whether it be clerical or just what it was. So these A through E there on number two are ones that, as the county, we already considered them Class B designate. So they're not necessarily new. It's just a correction to make sure that they knew that at the state level. So next we have samples of what we call our warning letter and our violation letter. So the first one is the warning letter. That's the one that introduces us, you know, so for example, my name is Justin Kalel, I'm the field inspector in your area. So you're trying to make an introductory thing if they don't know you already. You identify the weed, where it's located. If you see on the third line, it says the plants are located, and then it pulls that information off of our database, north of the pond, along the cyclone fence, you know, so they can get a good idea of where it's at. And then we always put in with this initial letter a photo and just a review of what the weed is and how to control it. So that's page two. And then in the second paragraph, it just goes through what the state weed law is that we're concerned with, why it's good to control it, and then it gives a time frame. So it'll say, hey, how's it going,
Bill? 9 o'clock or 9:30?
Yeah, 9 o'clock, yeah.
Oh, 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, I was thinking 9:30. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, sure.
I was almost, too.
You just got to get up earlier, Bill.
Yeah. No, I'm working on the hydraulic cylinder, so...
No.
Okay.
No, last year they were always at 9:30, so that was an easy mistake to make. Yep. And then it goes through paragraph 1, 2, 3, 4. It gives them the number of days they have. So normally it's a 2-week, you know, 14 days to comply, and we'll come back and do that follow-up survey.
Morning.
And then the last paragraph is, hey, you know, we're here to help. Please give us a call. We're happy to come out, walk the property with you, help you with a weed control plan, that sort of thing. So that's what we call the warning letter. It's... depending on your interpretation, it's not really required by state law, but it's you don't want to jump right into the nasty gram right away if you don't have to. So the next page is the nasty gram. That's the violation letter, and it's a lot more direct. Hey, you know, we've asked you to do this. This is a concern for our community. It states the law and the penalties in a little bit more direct fashion. Still tries to end up with, hey, you know, we're here to assist. But of course, this is the letter that typically generates the phone call to us. You know, oh, wait a minute, I actually could, you know, suffer maybe a little bit of a repercussion. And so this is the one people get upset about. And kind of the main reason I put these in here is, you know, if you have suggestions on your end of, you know, how to tone a little bit better, or how the average person might take it. You know, on our end, we get a little bit jaded to it because we do this every day. But if you were to, you know, possibly read this letter for the first time, you know, maybe it's something that would seem maybe a little bit too harsh. So, you know, just kind of let me know on that.
So I get that called, too, most of the time.
Yeah. yes, you do.
And the questions that come up really is, so what triggered it? Were you driving by? Did a neighbor call? And, you know, so yeah, what triggers it?
Yeah, we get that a lot. And I think a lot of times it's a little bit of a Hatfield and McCoy situation that may be between neighbors. Almost always it's us driving or walking on a trail in the area. It can be a neighbor calling about another neighbor, but we always make sure not to mention that because we don't want them to be fighting over weeds. You know, they should be neighborly, right?
Right.
So, but that does happen. We've had several calls already about tansy this year. Hey, my neighbor has a lot of tansy, and we'll go by there. But we never mention that to the person that has the tansy.
Do you sometimes walk onto their property?
Yeah, onto the property. No, we walk onto the. So let's say Bill and Lee are neighbors, and Bill called and said, hey, you know, my neighbor's got a bunch of tansy.
I call on Lee all the time.
Yeah, yeah. and let's say from the road I can't see that, and Bill says, well, you can come on my backyard and just look over my fence. We will do that because he's invited us.
Okay.
And so then when we send the letter to Lee in this hypothetical situation.
I got one.
Lee may be able to figure that out. Hey, the only way the field inspector could have seen my tansy is from Bill's property. And so that's why we'll say, hey, Bill, are you sure... you know, you want to go this route, and almost always they'll say, yes, I'm tired of it. It's blowing onto my, you know, field. You know, it's affecting my llama pasture, or whatever it happens to be. So sometimes they do figure it out, but we don't tell them directly.
Right.
Okay, so is that a change? Because I thought in the past it was more or less that you wouldn't do any enforcement unless you could see it from the road. I know because I tried to get some enforcement done, and they wouldn't do anything except if they could see it from the road.
No, as long as we can see it.
Okay.
It does not have to be from the road.
Okay, typically, I'll start turning guys in.
Okay, because typically we don't do it unless we can see it from the road because we haven't got that tip. We actually don't know it's there.
Yeah.
But if the, and we always try to say, hey, you know, in your case, are you sure that you want to go this route? Because your neighbor may know that that's where it came from. And like I said, most people will just say yes because they're kind of fed up with it, or they wouldn't have called us in the first place.
Well, I'm fed up with seeing all the tansy coming in my place that's right. coming from the neighbor's place. And
yeah, we're completely fine with that. Yep.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, it's not just neighbor to neighbor. It's also public road versus private road. So we don't drive
down
a private road unless we're invited down that private road. So a lot of the north end of the county, a lot of those roads are actually private road signs. And so there's a lot of that area we don't actually see to do enforcement unless invited. And we're happy to do it.
And you're not using drones yet.
No, not yet. No.
Is there anybody that privately sprays? I don't know if they're...
The landscapers, probably could, yeah.
Yeah.
The landscapers. Is that...
Yeah, we have
do we have a list?
Yeah,
we
it's
do.
Not long.
Oh,
it's not long.
But I hate to see what they charge.
There's only, I know. I bet friends.
You know, it's a pretty penny.
Yeah,
I'll give you an example. Up by Annie's Berry Farm, there was power lines go through there, and there's a property that's about 40 acres of an older fellow that's not on the property. And we sent him a letter for tansy. It was... significant amount, very dense. And his son, who lives outside of the area, is the one that's kind of taking care of the estate. And he said, you know, I already spent $3,000 this spring on weed control on that 40 acres. And I said, well, I can see that you did. And, you know, the work was done, but not significant enough on the tansy. And, he's kind of upset about it, but then he had him go back out there and mow it since it was too late in the year to spray. Mm-hmm. So the area that I think the work was done on was of that 40 acres was only about 5 acres of it. So $3,000 for 5 acres, I mean, it can get spendy.
Yeah.
Now, he may have overcharged them. It's hard to say, you know, mm-hmm. but it's not cheap.
Yeah.
So that's probably partly why most people with fields, when they get our letter, end up just mowing, even though that's not really a long-term solution, but it's cheaper.
I got a comment because last year you said Kara was when I got a letter for the water hemlock, but she said what triggered it on me was change in ownership of the property. Anytime, whenever somebody buys a piece of property, then that automatically goes through the records and goes out and checks it. Well, it was covered with blackberries. It was infested with blackberries, and we spent all winter on it cleaning it out. Well, when spring come, water hemlock come up, and she said she actually looked at it from with glasses from the road, and you could see it from the road, and she didn't trespass on it. But that's where it's at. But it's coming back up again this year. Some, not very much, and not where you'd think it would be, but there is 10 dozen plants is all out there or less. But
blackberries are, in our area anyway, the most notorious for weed succession. Yeah, so you finally get around to getting out of the blackberries, you're feeling pretty good about yourself, and didn't realize that the 10 years that blackberry was there, it was catching every weed seed blowing, and this nice fertile soil underneath there that's been, and so, it's usually thistles, tansy, prickly lettuce, sow thistle, things like that, or hemlock.
Yeah.
So them letters come from the weed board, don't they?
Correct, yeah. So the first letter, the warning letter, will have the field inspector's name. Well, they both have weed board on the top. Yeah,
that's good. Okay.
And that will be the field inspector's name and signature. And then the violation letter always just has my name as the coordinator and signature. But it says weed board, yeah.
Maybe you could find a different seal. They see the Clark County seal.
Or maybe just down here where it says certified mail, have a thing that says this is not the commission. This is not the DOCC.
Yeah. Mark, why don't you start sending it from Cowlitz County?
Yeah. Let's see. And then the last two I had on here were more just we have internally with the county, with all the employees, what's called the FYI. It comes out every Wednesday, and this year on a monthly basis, they're putting in there for us a weed of the month. So this month, it's slender flower thistle, and there's a little bit of a blurb that I write at the top, and then we put our control measure sheet there that can be clicked on, and so that's what it looked like in the FYI, and then this is the example of the sheet that we would send in the mail. And so what it has is a couple of photos at different points in the life cycle, a description. Typically this description is pretty much just taken off the state website, and then on the back is our control measures, so mowing, pulling, fertilizer, herbicides, whatever would help with the control of that weed. So that's an example of that. And then the last item, sorry, I lied. I think I said the last one was the last item. It's just an email in case you guys didn't get it that I sent out. And the part in brown is the part that the county wanted a response from the community. Specifically, it was the different advisory boards, I think, in this round. And Kevin, I didn't tell you ahead of time, so not to put you on the spot, but if you could talk a little bit more about what's it called?
Priority-based budgeting.
So that's what this is part of, and they're looking for responses from board members, so the different boards, reboard, clean water, you know, that sort of thing. So maybe you could just quickly say what priority-based budgeting is.
So my understanding of it and what I've seen so far is that the county's going in the direction of what we're calling priority-based budgeting, and the first couple of steps in that process are determining what are the programs that the county has. So, for example, noxious weed control is a program. What do we call that? We call that vegetation management. All of the county departments are going through this process where they define these different programs and trying to figure out, is it really a program or is it not really a program? So that's kind of the level we're at right now. Next step would be to figure out the cost associated with that program. What does it cost for the county to run vegetation management, including the weed board and, you know, our coordination with the citizens and noxious weed control? And then from that point, there's a process where you determine priorities at the county level, right? So how important is the noxious weed control program when you compare it to the sheriff, right? Or road infrastructure, or, you know, whatever the different programs are that the county has. Lifeguards at Klein Line Pond, you know, things that, so you kind of put it together with all the other programs and then you set priorities, and they put them into four quarters, with one being the most important and four being considered the least important, right? The least prioritized. And so some of the things that determine how much of a priority is could be state and federal regulations that require this program. Vegetation management relies on that RCW 1710. So there's a state law behind that program, but other programs may have different things that make them a priority or not a priority. Public safety would be a huge priority, things like that. So after that, then it's a discussion, I think, with the budget office, with the council, with how do we determine what's the highest priorities, are they in the right quartiles, and then we assign money based on that, and then we move forward, and there's some opportunities just to probably move money around based on we want more money in the high priority stuff and less money in the low priority stuff. So we're just really getting started on this. And
so if we were put into a number four category, then we could possibly be eliminated and we could go back to our normal work.
Yeah.
But what about maybe me? Get paid for what we're doing besides that. No. Okay. Yeah, and so then, actually, in them categories, then you probably break them down too, far as, you know, one of them would be your certification of weed-free material.
Yeah.
Another category would be of noxious weeds, you know, weed control.
Yeah. And there's a lot of back and forth on what constitutes a program, and so we've been, you know, I've been working to try to figure that out to the best of my ability and just the programs that I manage. So, you know, we have noxious weed control where we deal with the public, and that's a little bit different than noxious weed control that we do for the county properties. And, you know, we have a forestry program, and we have, you know, other, you know, different. So what's the level of detail that you go to, and where do we put the weed-free forage program? Because it's pretty small. So It's a work in progress.
The weed fee program, I mean, that straw this year has been, I mean, I've been getting calls and I've been out of straw since December. Yeah, well, I got them last week.
Yeah,
people trying to find.
Lots of new
there is none.
Oh, yeah. They're strong.
Oh, you got some. Okay.
No, not us. No. I know some that's down in the lower Willamette Valley and stuff, but it's 100 miles away.
I was down in around the lower or medium Willamette Valley looking for some, and there wasn't any. Mm-hmm. And Capital Press, you don't see any in the Capital Press, mm-hmm. unless you get one-ton bales.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
but there are no small bales.
Right, yep.
So, now there is a requirement, like on county projects, to have weed-free material.
Yeah.
How do you satisfy that?
If you're out locally?
Yes.
That's
I mean, how do you... enforce that, or how are you able to satisfy that requirement when it's not available? And I've had people call me from Idaho, mm-hmm. off of our wheat free program, or I mean straw, looking for material. And
yeah,
a few years back, before the wheat free, you know, started kind of ramping up here a little bit, a lot of our wheat free straw was coming from Nevada. So I don't know how far away you have to go before it. I don't know.
Wow. On construction projects that the county builds, we would ask the contractor for proof that they, you know, so provide the twine, the special twine that has the yellow and, it's yellow and purple still,
yes.
right? Yeah. and then they have to turn in their invoice showing that they bought it. If there wasn't any available, I think we'd probably talk about alternative methods for erosion control. Maybe hydro seeding with some kind of a mulch and fast establishing grass seed. I don't know.
We got in the middle of a hydro seeding project in October of last year. They hydro seeded, and 2 days later, all the hydro seeding was gone.
It was
gone.
At some times of the year, it just doesn't make sense anymore.
Yeah, I mean, well
it's not going to germinate. So
it just, we got a couple of them gully washers.
Yeah,
and It was gone. Mm-hmm. It there.
So if it's certified, like if you're having to pull it out of Nevada, it's a different certification program there, isn't it? I mean, how do you access that, or the colored twine's got to be different, so you have to have paperwork to back it up?
It's a national standard.
Yeah.
For weed freeze. Yeah.
NASMA is national standard.
Okay.
At the level that all the different counties in the different states stick to that, I'm not certain, but
okay.
it should be a national standard, and that's why when we go out and do our weed free, we have the state noxious weed list and we have the national list that adds another dozen or so plants that aren't even on ours.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And several of them, or most of them that I'm aware of, are more of a Midwestern weed issues.
Heads up for you is straw is going to be even tighter to get this coming year because of the weather conditions. A lot of the wheat here in the Willamette Valley did not get planted because October was so wet. I talked to fellows over east of the mountains, and about 40% of the winter wheat east of the mountains didn't get planted.
Really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. And so so I don't know what the situation is with stuff coming out of Pasco or the Tri-Cities and stuff. I don't know, but I've already talked to my guy. We get about, two semi-loads of straw for pumpkin patch.
Right.
And he's already warned us. He says, if you have another, buyer, another place to go, he says, sure. Go. Because he says he's only got just a few hundred acres lined up that he can get straw on. And so, yeah.
There is an alternative, though, is grass straw.
Yeah.
Because you could get certified from grass seed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so it'd be green straw instead of yellow straw, but that may be able to pick up some of the slack if some of them would morph over to putting the twine on, but majority of them don't use small bales.
Yeah.
Majority of them use big bales. Because
there's a big difference between the grass straw and the wheat type straw as far as usage, too. I mean, the bales that I got, I needed a few, and I had to search all over to find just a few bales for some birthing some foals, and I ended up with a couple of those grass straw bales, which I didn't want, but it's the only thing I found for a while, and then couple other bales of, you know, and I'm only looking for a half dozen bales, but yeah. Boy.
To give you an example of how tight it's been, we always try to put a weed-free grass hay bale at our displays, you know, so we can talk about it a little bit. And so
somebody stole it?
We borrowed one from Jerry, and Jerry's like, make sure I get this back. You know? So we drove it back out there. That's how tight it is right now. So.
Yeah, and you know, and to me, it's ironic, is thinking back, 10 years or so, I remember if you wanted to burn straw for heat, right. You could go down and you could buy stacks of straw. Well, you didn't even have to buy them. Is if you would take them, they would give them to you. Yeah. You know, now it's like, wow, you know, is you got really got to work. Yeah.
Maybe it's the same issue on the weed-free hay. I'm a little worried that, you know, I'm not getting out there to be able to spray in the fields. I've hit the edges.
Right. Yeah.
But if we get a real late bloom, which is maybe what I'm thinking, oxi and a few other things out there,
yeah,
that may just knock me out. So
it could be a problem. Even last year, there were several people that had been in the weed-free program for 4 or 5 years, and they got a little bit upset because their fields didn't get certified. And that's the reason they said, hey, we just couldn't get out early enough.
Yeah.
And we tried to help them out with, okay, you know, this half is okay and this half isn't, which we don't want to do, as we sent out in the letter this spring. We want it to be full fields, you know, just to make sure everything's legit.
Unless
but
you cut around it could be, and leave it standing, you can't.
Right, which would be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do it, but what a nuisance.
Yeah,
I mean,
but it could be a rough year.
Second cut, no. Double orange instead of purple and gold. Okay.
So, yeah, that's basically the different paperwork things. Like I said, any comments or suggestions or edits or additions, whatever, just let me know.
Okay.
Probably just a plug to, if you can, take that survey. So they're looking for all the input that we can get from advisory boards, people that don't work for the county, to say, what, you know, what are the priorities in this community that you live in? So, yeah.
And I think it might be nice from the weed board to get a letter that says essentially your state run.
Yeah.
Because now that you're on public works, it's easy to get lost.
It is, yes.
So,
Definitely.
And if you need, I'm sure you guys get a bunch of emails and you're busy. If you need me to find the date that was sent to you and then resend it to you, that's no problem. I can do it.
Could you do that, Casey?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would come out in your name.
Because, my wife has been canning most of that stuff and everything. So,
otherwise, you never get through it.
Yeah.
Like Councilor Bolt was saying, about, 10 years ago, we were our own group. Then into environmental services, where we were part of 45 or so people.
Yeah.
And now public works, where it's 250 to 300 or something. Yeah. So it's a big organization. We can get a little bit lost in the shuffle. So we want to make sure we have an input.
Yeah. That's all right. We got the chair on our side.
Yeah.
And if he isn't, pull the donuts away.
Leverage.
That's manipulation.
Not weed control project.
Okay.
One
more. Just a little bit more on that. So we, like I mentioned, the CPU is doing everything upstream of Heisen Bridge, and we will, if we get the grant, which I expect that we will, do everything downstream of that. The addition to that is that. There's a little bit of extra funding that one of the other counties wasn't able to use. So this June, we'll be able to spend some time with some of the funding that's getting rerouted to us to get started a little bit early and do some surveys in June.
Right.
So we'll get started on that. Typically, the timing of the Knotweed project is that since there's just four of us in our group and we're basically swamped all the way through the county fair, the Knotweed project doesn't start until middle of August, and then it goes till about middle of October or whenever it just gets too rainy. And that usually gives us enough time to do the project. And it worked out quite well on the Washougal this last year. So what we'll have this year is the ability to go out there and survey through June with the funding from the state, and then that will be able to jumpstart us when we get out there in August, because we'll already have a lot of locations to go to and start the control while we're, you know, talking to other landowners and getting permissions and that sort of thing. So it'll help us out. Just in general, in terms of the knotweed, we've been doing this since 2004. We alternate watersheds between the North Fork, the East Fork, and the Washougal. The last, I want to say, 6 or 7 years, CPU has had a project on Salmon Creek. Mm-hmm. So that kind of hits our four major waterways. Some of the smaller ones get hit by other people. So Ridgefield, you know, the G Creek that goes through Ridgefield, there's some volunteers that are really big on that help out with the refuge. And so some of the smaller ones can have little projects as well. So it's just a weed that is really, really hard to get rid of. And so even though we've been doing it for this amount of time, and now we are at the point where we rotate through and then come back a couple years later to where we were before and start it again. So we're, in some ways, we're a little bit in maintenance mode now, in terms of we still discover things here or there that we miss, because, you know, it is a jungle out there and you're not going to find every single patch no matter how hard you look. But a little bit in maintenance mode going through those four watersheds. And that's good. Kevin and I met with the state coordinator last week, and he likes our project, and so.
So that was what I was going to ask is, number one, are you seeing that you're getting ahead on the knotweed? Okay.
Yeah.
So we're making headway on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is, what do you use for control on knotweed?
Yeah, so the main way that we check for headway is just the number of locations and then the stem count at each location, and both of those are decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of what we use it, this is primarily a riparian project,
mm-hmm.
the funding. And so you have to use herbicides that are aquatic approved. So almost all the time it's either aquatic approved glyphosate or aquatic approved imazapyr.
So you do have something other than just glyphosate to use. Okay?
Correct, yeah. The imazapyr is a little bit slower acting, but a better long-term control. But it also has the potential for maybe affecting neighboring plants. So we typically will use the glyphosate in a good, mostly natural setting, and the imazapyr in maybe something that already has a bunch of other, you know, it already has a bunch of blackberry and scotch broom and all kinds of other stuff. So it's just a matter of, it's site specific. We always alter it based on where we're at. The sites that are away from water, you can milestone works fairly well on those, but that's not to date not yet aquatic approved.
Right. So that's one of the questions I was going to ask. Now, like with agriculture, we have to keep track of what we use, and we cannot use pesticides more than twice without rotating chemistries.
Correct.
Are you keeping track of where you use glyphosate and then go to imazapyr?
We do try to, yeah. It doesn't always work that way based on landowner preference, or, like I said, if otherwise it's a very intact natural community, then we may not, unless we can be real specific with how we, you know, with backpack sprayers and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we have records of each site. According to state law, we have to keep it for 7 years, but we have all of our records back to 2004. We're not really mixing it up a ton. What happens is the first time you get to a site, the knotweed could be anywhere from 8 to 12 feet tall. So if you have the ability to spray, that's what we usually do because of time and efficacy. If not, then we'll inject it into the stem. And then what usually happens in year two of the project, they're biennial projects now, is we'll come back and there's really not that much left. It's usually about 5 or 10% of what you had in terms of cane count, and usually they're much shorter.
Mm-hmm.
They're still feeling the effects from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And then if that's the case, let's say the patch was as big as this table and we used glyphosate the first year, if there's only a little bit left coming from the root crown and you really haven't had a lot of regeneration of the native understory, you still have an opening there, then you can hit that with the imazapyr and not worry about neighboring issues. So
mm-hmm.
it's site to site. We try to mix it up as much as we can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I know using glyphosate too is September, they generally say is the month, then wait till September when everything, it doesn't matter whether it's Himalayan blackberries or whatever. It's pulling sugars down.
Exactly.
And then, and you'll get much more efficacy. I was just wondering about August is a little early, it sounds like, but if you may not, you may not have that, you know. Yeah.
Well, the until this year where we have money to survey in June, typically when we start August 15th, a lot of that was surveying until you get to first or second week of September. We'll be able to get a jump start on it this year. And I think we have a couple of large patches in mostly shady areas that where the soil is not going to be drying out, where you know they'd be active enough for that to be worthwhile. But typically we're not really spraying until September. So the only other thing, we skipped number five there. Just real brief heads up on RCW 1710. It may come to nothing, and it may also be a really long project, kind of like Councillor Bolt referred to with the changes to the local code. These things take, you know, 2 or 3 years to happen. But there's a little bit of concern, or I should say a lot of concern, amongst the county weed coordinators that there's an effort to alter RCW 1710, which is the meat of the state weed law. It may be a little bit of overreaction. We'll see. It might not be that big of a deal, but it's kind of being spearheaded by, as the result of a dispute in a county east of the mountains where the county commissioner and the county weed board coordinator just don't like each other, I think is the reality.
We talked about it at Wasatch.
Yeah.
And we just had a retreat. So we talked about it. The county's in that, so that's what we said.
Gotcha.
We don't pay any attention to that.
Okay.
We're not behind it.
Okay. Yeah. So the county, the state weed board coordinator, she's a public servant and she's trying to help because, you know, citizens of the state are looking to make a change. So she's helping them out in terms of and doing her job and that sort of thing. And so there's a little bit that's happened with this. There's been a couple of heated meetings that I haven't been going to, but it may not really come to much. After they do their initial redraft of what they want to do with 1710, it would then go to a couple of different advisory groups so that the county weed coordinators would have a chance to look at it. The state association of all of the county boards would be able to take a look at it, and then it would go to a council within the legislative body before it was voted on. So, you know, it's a huge process, and it may not amount to a whole lot. A couple of the things that some of the coordinators were talking about that wouldn't be bad to have added to the weed board would, because some of the smaller counties have a hard time with, you know, where's the insurance coming for, you know, their field inspectors if the program's really small, or, you know, just, you know, that sort of thing, where just some of the details of funding could be and that sort of thing could be worked out. But it may not come to much, and I'll give you guys updates if it looks like it's going anywhere, or if they have it kind of open for, you know, hey, let's get as much input as we can, then I'll let you guys know.
Okay. All right. We did number six. So anything additional?
No, the only other thing that I had is I handed out the annual report there, which...
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is the annual report there, which I would have liked to have made a little bit better in terms of more detail about the program. I just kind of ran into not having enough time. So next year I'll try to get a little bit more detailed with our program. But because the meat of what's there, it looks like a lot, but the meat of what's there is actually just the Class A and B designate weeds, you know, descriptions of them, you know, best ways to control them, that sort of thing. Doesn't really get into a lot of our program stuff until the last few pages. And if you look at close to the last page, sorry, there's a, I guess page 64, which is about four from the back. These are, it says information to add to the 2017 report, and these are things that I meant to do this year and I just didn't have the time. So you can see that, you know, program goals, that'd be good to have in there. Where are we actually releasing the beneficial insects and on what crops? And, you know, where are those sources coming from? And then just, you know, weed-free certification, you know, more about that program. Those are things that, you know, would be good to have in an annual report. I just didn't get to this time. And then the idea is at the beginning, which I didn't put in there, there would be, you know, my message introducing the report to you guys as the county weed board. And then if you so chose, a one page or so message to the weed board, or to the county counselors, to just let them know, hey, here's what our outfit has done for this year. So hoping to make those improvements for next year, and that way we could have a kind of an official document that gets turned in every year, and then, you know, if you chose as a board, you could turn into the BOCC every year.
Question for you on the Tansy Reg work letter. Did you send that to all the board members too? Or did I get one just because I you know, somebody must think I've got Tansy on my place?
No, I'm pretty sure I sent that to all of you guys as well. Sent the three. There was the Tansy, the Class A, and the Weed Free Forage letter I gave to you guys. Yeah.
Okay, because yeah. I got the letter and I'm going, geez, man, you know, I mean, I'm pretty dedicated about making sure. Now, I do have to admit, don't drive out there right now because, good Lord, I'll tell you, I don't know where all this stuff is coming from, but yeah. Man, I've got it all over the place.
Don't drive anywhere.
We were discussing that before you got here.
It's bad. We've gotten a few calls from those letters. Like I said, there was one letter that we sent just to property owners who had Tansy last year to let them know, hey, you know, this is kind of a big deal. Let's make sure we work on it. And then people who had various Class A weeds. And we've gotten a few calls from them. Mostly it's people that have called and said, hey, I'm a little bit offended that you've sent me this letter, which is fine. We get that type of call all the time. It's not going to hurt my feelings any.
I'll send you a nasty grade.
Okay.
Well, you get the next one.
Yeah. But yeah. We're hoping that kind of gets people started a little bit early. So,
yeah.
If they can get out there weather-wise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get a tractor across the field anywhere.
Yeah. We've got some stuff planted in one thing or another, but the thing on Tansy that's killing me is, of course, in the fields, we don't see it at all. But all of my roads that I've got around the fields, field borders, my gosh, man, I'm going to have to carry a spray can and just hit it everywhere I can because, geez, I'm amazed at what I've got. Jeez.
They're lush out there, too. I can't even get a four-wheeler across yet. Mm-hmm. A tractor out there.
Yeah, be careful with the tractors. I forget his name, but 179th, going past the fairgrounds, heading west, there's a guy that has a lot of raspberry fields out there. He tried to get out there and he just sunk that tractor. I mean,
He decided, so he tried making a U-turn and go back.
Nope.
And he didn't make it back.
Poor guy. Yeah.
That's one thing with raspberry roads. You get into them and just like, what do you do?
I mean, you can't turn and go.
There's nowhere to go.
Either back out or
backing up usually isn't enough.
Is not good.
Okay. As always, let me know if you have anything you need me to work on or something that's an issue.
Well, I'll make sure next time it's 9 o'clock, and yeah, I won't help Doug with the hydraulic cylinder next time. Yeah.
Okay.
You're on.
So just to make it confusing, just that for some reason next time still 9 o'clock, but it will be in A1.
Okay.
I don't know why. They were busy or something.
I think this one was booked.
Yeah.
For the next meeting. Yeah.
So A1.
Okay. Okay. And that's probably.
July
10th, right?
After the fair. Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, after 4th of July.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for May 1.
And then there won't be one after that until the final meeting then.
Late
in the year.
I was figuring 9:32 until I looked at the clock. It was 8:31, and then I went and checked my email.
Yeah.
I checked my calendar.
July 10th, 9 o'clock, just 2.
I had the 17th written down.
Oh. Good thing
Well, then let's make sure. That could be, you know what that was? Is I believe...
we started that way.
I believe we've had that discussion. I think Kent can't make the July 10th one, and maybe it was another person that couldn't as well. That could be an error on my part. Having lost Carmen, she moved up to Lacey to work up there. I may have not have changed that. So did we decide on the 17th?
Mine is marked the 17th.
Mine's marked the 10th.
17th, 17th.
When I talked to Monica the other day, she said it was the 10th.
Yeah, and that's what I still have.
Calendar
yeah.
for the 10th.
Okay, so okay, let's just decide now. So
17th works for me too.
Okay, so 17th works for you.
17th.
How about you, Lee?
I guess.
So let's do that. So ignore. let's scratch. Let's right. scratch that out and make sure we don't look at it and come the wrong time next time. So.
So and when you send the minutes out.
Uh huh.
Be sure and put the 17th in. That way, then I'll write it on my calendar at home.
Okay, sounds good.
So it's an A1.
Next meeting.
A1.
Yes.
Although if it's on the 17th, this might be open. Who knows, right?
Good point. We'll let you know.
All right. So I'm going to leave it at B1 on the
17th. I'll put it down as A1, but
you're going to go A1. So
whatever the notes.
Look for one of us in the parking lot doing this.
Looking for paper on the wall or something.
And the next one's not till December.
Correct.
Fourth.
Okay. I'm 78th Street, and that's supposed to be A1.
And that's...
Say, whereabouts are your offices? Are your officers here in this complex?
They are now, yeah. Behind the gate here is Building G. So if you look at the gate, there's the first building, two, and then I think we're the second or third one on the right.
Yeah, third one.
Yeah. Third one. And we actually put up the old... vegetation management sign from Casey Center, so you can kind of see that as well.
Okay.
And then if you do need to get in, the gate's almost always locked during business hours. Just hit the call button. There's a button that says vegetation management, and then the secretary just buzzes you in. So it's
makes it really convenient for people to come. Yeah,
I know. It's
yeah.
I mean, we've talked about that, and we think we have a plan that we do have a plan that we're going with this year, which is that somebody comes, they want a weed identified or whatever happens to be, then they could hit that button and
is there at least a sign there?
There is, yeah. So there's a little call box and it says vegetation management, you hit that button. Yeah. So it's not the best.
You sound like my wife. My wife, I say, did you put a sign up that says that, that such and such? And she says, well, they can ask. And I go, yeah. If they have to ask, they won't. So,
yeah.
All right.
We have noticed less traffic in the office, but maybe that's just because it's not quite the busy season yet.
Well, that's true. Yeah,
that could be. Could be. All right. Well, we've adjourned the meeting anyway.
Thanks, everybody.
Okay.
I'll turn this off in case somebody wants to talk bad about me.